The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
The amount of people looking for Andy Moore around Positano, it was all the rage. They're asking him what he's got to do next. When's the next episode out? The Football Pod's gone international.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
All right, OTB Sports is back for another series of in-depth chats with some of the biggest names in Premier League and Irish football history. With behind-the-scenes access, we're talking to some of the legendary names from the biggest clubs and meeting the crucial people behind the scenes who make a Premier League club what it is. It's all in association with Cabri FC, global partner of Manchester United. Check out cabrifc.com for updates on promotions and giveaways. Well, no question about Manchester United's greatest ever season. The 98-99 campaign will live forever in the memories of United fans. And I am delighted to be joined by a key member of that treble-winning Manchester United side, playing over 50 times that season. Yap Stam, you're very welcome to ODB Sports.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We're going to talk a lot about that brilliant season, the heroics in the semi-final in Turin, that night in Barcelona. Before all that, I do have one other match from your career I'd like to ask you about. 20 years ago, 1st of September, 2001, you came to Dublin with the Netherlands and were beaten by a Jason McAteer goal. What do you remember about it?
Yeah, it was quite a frustrating moment, that was. You know, the Dutch, they always want to be part of a big tournament, and so was Ireland at the time, of course, as well. And that was a very a crucial game for both countries at the time. And then, we lost by Jason's goal, which was quite frustrating for everybody, but. We also needed to be fair at that time as well. You know, they were really on top of us. They made it very difficult for us. And then we couldn't produce in what everybody expected us to do. And sometimes that's how it goes as well.
Jason doesn't like to talk about that goal.
No, he doesn't, no. I think everybody who scores a goal like that is everybody, when they go to the pub or somewhere else, they always mention it. It's a very important part of history. It is a thing that's... I think as a player, as a person, you know, you need to be proud of that moment as well, because you know you brought yourself or your country to a big stage, and I think everybody is very happy to do so.
Yeah, he most certainly was. He was invited straight after the game. I don't know if you know this. You two were playing this massive concert in Slane Castle, this homecoming concert, 80,000 people, and they invited Jason McAteer to go down in the helicopter and everything to celebrate the goal.
Oh, did he, yeah? Did they?
That's what you created. It is, I think it's definitely, if not the greatest, it's in the top three of the greatest Irish sporting moments. So I know you didn't want to be a part of it that way, but you are a part of it. So we see that match all the time.
It's still nice to be in the history books in a certain way. You always want to be in there positive, in a positive way.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Negativity, that's news as well. And it's I'm glad to be here, to be helpful to Ireland as well.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you on behalf of the people of Ireland. You were in history in many positive ways throughout your career, particularly with that brilliant season for Manchester United. You came in that summer then of 98, just after the World Cup, as the most expensive defender in the history of football, about £10.5 million coming in from PSV Eindhoven. When you think back, that must have been an incredibly exciting summer.
It was. It was very a very long season, an exciting summer as well, of course, in terms of after the season with PSV going into the World Cup, knowing, of course, that you that people are watching you. Everybody's paying attention to you because you're the most expensive defender in the world at that time. If you think about it now, to be honest, it's a little bit different if you're thinking about the money. But at that time, it was a big... a big amount, and like I said, you know, people are watching you when you go into the World Cup, and you're playing at a certain stage. You play against very good countries, a lot of quality. Then, of course, the press from the UK is there as well. They want to see what you can do for your country. They want to see what United have been brought in, of course, as well. So it's been tense as well at times. Like I said, a long season going into this World Cup, doing well with Holland, and at the end, you know, having a long stretch basically in that tournament as well, which didn't give me a lot of time off after that season before joining United. But it was good. It was exciting because you go to somewhere new. You go from a league in Holland that's been well known by me. It's been very easy at that time for myself as well in how to play, and then being very comfortable at PSV as well, and of course in the national team as well. And then going somewhere where there's a lot more attention, where there's a lot more pressure. People expect a lot more from yourself as a player, and then you need to step in there. You need to go. Is it a different culture? Yeah, of course. You know, the English it's a bit of a different culture than how it was in Holland. You need to get used to that. You need to get used to new players again, different way of playing, different style, different intensity, of course, as well. And yeah, a lot of expectations from a lot of people, which makes it quite exciting.
Is it true you could have gone to Manchester United the summer previously, the summer of 97, after you just won the league with PSV?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was your decision not to?
Yeah, because at that time when they showed interest, it was quite late. And then I needed to make that decision quite quick. And at that time I said, well, I'm not really up for it now to make that step. So I said no. Also at that season, there was a lot of interest from other teams, other clubs as well. United was, and probably everybody knows that as well, and has been one of my our favorite club in the world.
Yeah.
Outside the teams in Holland. So of course I was very honoured that they asked me that. So Alex was interested at the time.
So do you have a phone call with Alex Ferguson where you say, not right now?
No, but at that time I didn't. At that time it was my agent, and I'm not going to say it now because then it goes back into the into what people are saying, what was being written in that book. You're probably going to go and remind me of it as well. No, but we didn't have a conversation at that time. You know, my agent spoke to me, called me, said, "Yeah, United is interested. Are you willing to go over there now?" And of course, I was very pleased. I was very honored. And your first thought is, "Oh, this feels good," but I also need to think about myself and my family, or my wife at the time as well, and what we needed to do, what was the best decision for myself to grow, to make steps at PSV and also in the national with the national team to eventually make that step forward. And United kept following me the season after. They stayed in contact with my agent as well, and I kept developing myself. At the end of the day, the decision is being made.
It shows a real inner confidence in yourself to trust that, well, you know, in football, injuries can happen quite quickly. We think about what happened with Ruud van Nistelrooy, whose transfer did get delayed to Manchester United, but also a maturity. When you think back now, do you put that down to coming into the game quite late? I think you were your late teens, even maybe 20 when you made your professional debut, that a lot of young players who go into academies at maybe 15, 16, think about it a different way. That you had a better sense of life and all that goes with football, that you could say, actually, best thing, me, my family, my life right now is to just be patient.
Yeah, you know, I went to my first professional team when I was 18. And I turned 19 in the pre-season of my first season in professional football. So I was 19 playing first team football, professional football. And the thing for me is that I started to at an amateur club in Holland. At that time, you didn't have the academies like how it is now, that young players are being picked up very early. They have the whole education basically at their academy. They can make progress and then maybe have that early step into a first team football. To be honest, in England, there's not a lot of very young players who always come into the first team because the interest of the teams, you know, is very, the expectation of teams is, of course, very big. So younger players don't always get the opportunity, which is at times a shame, but in a way you can understand as well, because teams need to provide, they need to deliver, they need to win trophies, they need to reach to certain standards. At that time, when I played my football, I was always, every season when I went into professional football, every season I went into it like, okay, I'm going to see how it goes. I try to get my best out of every season, and then hopefully I can step up every season to join a bigger team to get to a certain level. And that's always how I approached basically my career. And I think when I started my career, like I said, when I was 18, within a couple of years, I was playing for PSV Eindhoven. So I made progress basically every season that I played. And that's how I always make that step. I always wanted to show myself at the team where I was, I wanted to show that I was one of the best players over there. If there was interest, then I look at it together with my wife and my family. Okay, is this a good step for myself as well to maybe go higher up? And that's how I looked at the football. And then what you're saying at the time, yeah, you need to be strong as well. And there's a lot of temptation. Now, if you look at young players or at players, if there's interest, they go straight away to a different club. But for me, the most important thing was, if I go somewhere else, I need to like it. The club needs to give me confidence. I want to play. I don't want to be on the bench. So there needs to be an opportunity for me to play. And I, of course, know myself as well that you need to show yourself if you're good enough. So there's always that challenge. But you always want to have a feeling from a manager, from a club, that when they bring you in, they're not going to be saying to you, oh, yeah, you'll come over here. And then, you know, the first season, you can come in here, you can adjust to everything, you can get used to everything, and then we'll see how it goes. Now, for me, it was very important to show myself at a European level with PSV and the Champions League with the national team playing big games, that I can say, okay, now I'm going to be joining a big club or a club in Europe, and hopefully I'm going to show myself again over there to play first team football week in, week out. And that's how I approach every season, every year, and not thinking about injuries and just taking it how it is.
So that season obviously ends in outrageous success, but it wasn't the smoothest of starts. You come in at the start of that season, you play in the Charity Shield. It's a 3-0 defeat against Arsenal. Nicolas Anelka's outstanding. It's a tough start to the league campaign. There was two wins in the first five matches, and you've arrived in that summer as the most expensive defender in history. So yeah. Criticism is going to come quickly. What's the attitude within Manchester United? Is it a arm around the shoulder? Yeah, be patient. It's all going to come right for you. Or is it, listen, we expect you to deliver. We've paid this money. You're at the big club. Go do it.
Well, you know how United is now, with Ollie winning one game, winning the league, then and then losing a game, and then he needs to be sacked the day after. And now there's even more press, more social media. But also in the day when I joined them, there was also that pressure. Of course it's pressure. But you know, when you go and join these teams, that always is a lot of attention. The thing for myself was when I go over there, and that was the most important thing. And like I said before, if you're going to be joining a team, then you need to make sure, I think as a player, that they really appreciate you and they follow you and they know what you can do. And for me, it was very important that United followed me that whole season, even in bad times. Because, of course, when I played at PSV that season before I joined them, I also had very bad games. And there's a lot of scouts and there's a lot of coaches or teams that say if they see a player playing bad, oh, we're not going to take this guy, because he's playing a bad game. No, it's all about, of course, they know my quality, they know my ability, they know my character as a person as well, my personality. And that's a very important one, because it's how you as a player, when you're like from here, you're there, you go down in your level, it's how you stand up, how you get up again, how you react to that situation. And they know that, they know my personality and bringing me in, even when it was going bad, how I would have reacted and what to do. And you can see, and I've been used to that a little bit in my career as well. Yeah, when you join United, and when we need to join a big club, a big team with big players, and you come from a league, with all the respect, from Holland, which is a lot lower in terms of the quality, the intensity, what you bring, what you're doing, the quality of the players you're facing, the teams that you're facing. Yeah, that it's normal that you need to have time to get adjust to everything.
Did you care about getting the respect of your teammates?
Sorry?
Did you care about getting the respect of the other players in the dressing room?
Yeah, of course, because everybody wants to be respected, but you need to show yourself. And everybody was positive. They know me and what I could do. But still, you can be a big player in Holland and for the national team, but still you need to show yourself at the other team where you're going to. And that was very important for myself as well, to show in what you're made of, in the quality, what you can bring, but also in what your personality is. And even, yeah, like you say, you know, the Charity Shield was a tough game. The first couple of games within the league were tough. But after a couple of weeks, and even when there was criticism, yeah, then, and of course, you know, when you open up the papers after the first week and they say, yeah, you know, maybe he's a waste of money, and all these headlines are there, yeah, it's it gets to you. And you know, I spoke to Sir Alex as well at that time as well, and he said as well, I give you one piece of advice, which is a very good one. He said, don't read the newspapers. and that's what I did. You know, you just put everything aside, you put everything away, you focus on your football. And he told me as well, no, yeah, you know, we know what you can do. We've seen you, we trust you. Everybody likes you very much as a player, as an individual, and your personality and what you can do, what you can bring, what you can give us. And from that moment, you know, you just focus on yourself and on the team and what you need to do, what you need to bring. And then you get your confidence back, and that's what happened. And after a couple of weeks, everything went how I wanted it to be. More confidence, you get used to everything, what you need to be facing in the Premier League. And at the end of the day, yeah, you become one of the best defenders in the world. And that's all and how you need to approach, because there's always people that have an opinion. There's always people that are going to say something. There's always headlines or papers to be filled as well. And that's why, yeah, if you're going to be following everything that's been said in papers or in social media, then you don't have a life. So that's why I don't always understand why everybody is on there as well. But that's maybe me. That's maybe a bit.
Yeah, it's a bit tougher for the younger generation to avoid all the likes and the popularity contest that it is. Like those conversations you had with Ferguson, he was clearly such a genius as a manager and tactically on top of things. But so much that you hear is about his ability to communicate with the group in a dressing room, before the game, at halftime, but also individually. Would you have had a lot of conversations that you can remember that now in your own management career you can think back as to how he handled you, knowing when to push you at the right time, knowing when to put the arm around the shoulder at the right time, just having that innate ability to get the best out of every single player?
Yeah, that's for myself as a manager now, you're not imitating things in what Sir Alex did. You know, you're not like copying things in what he did to use that. No, you always, I think as a manager, you need to find your own ways in trying to build that team or make that team or trying to get the players to a certain level. A very important thing is this, and what Sir Alex was very good at, is to manage every player as an individual. And not use all the players in the same way, and that's I think one of his strengths as well. You know, he can build a team. He's not looking at names. He's looking at individuals, at certain characters that have certain quality as well, to mold this team into a machine of getting result. But also talking individually with players, encourage them in what they need to do. Also be very strict and firm in what he expects from you or from me as a player and what to do. And eventually, yeah, you need to accept certain decisions as well and that he made as well. But also finding that balance in looking at players in how they are within the season. You know, are they doing well? Are they tired or not? When to give them a little bit off, when to use them in a little bit in a different way. And that's, of course, in what he knew from experience as well. But that's a quality that he had. And of course, from myself, when you go into management, you're always looking back at the managers that I've worked with. To think about them and how they treated players or a team at certain moments in a certain time.
Yeah, that ability across a season to rotate and to be able to leave a player out to ensure he's at peak performance a week later was brilliant from Ferguson, and probably underlined by a stat I saw recently of when people think of that great United team, you can almost name the 1-11 instantly of Schmeichel, Neville, Stam, Johnson, Irwin, Giggs, Beckham, Scholes, Keane, Cole, York. Mm-hmm. That team started one game ever. One game ever, those 11 players started for Manchester United.
Because I've been thinking about that team at that time as well, and also my period at United as well. Because it's not like we had like 35 players at the time, like a squad has now. I think they also made the team and looking at characters as well who are like how do you call it? Is it robust that can play up to 55 or 60 games a season as well. And that doesn't mean that, of course, they always need to play, but they need to be able to play a lot of games within the season. They need to be strong physically as well to still bring a certain level, to keep that level up, so they can, at the end of the day, they can start winning games towards the end of the season as well and kept on pushing. That's what he looked for as well, and that's a very positive thing. And also, like you're saying yourself, yeah, with the amount of players that he had within the squad, yeah, he was very good in picking certain players, taking them out and giving them a little bit of a rest, bringing somebody else in as well, give them the confidence as well that they're one of the 20 or maybe a bit over 20, 23 plays we had. So everybody felt that, you know, they're being used in a good way. They had their impact within the season. And that's the thing, of course, you need to look at it as a manager as well, which isn't always easy because you always want to maintain a certain level of playing.
When you look back now, it's easy to see why it was so successful with so many great leaders in that squad. It seems from the outside to have been a very intense dressing room. There's a great short video of a Manchester United players' quizzes. These happened the night before games where all the management team and the players have been involved in the table quiz, and Roy Keane is losing it because he feels the questions are been skewed towards one of the coaches, that no matter what everyone in that team did, they wanted to win. Like, that's a hard thing to juggle, but probably a brilliant thing to be a part of.
No, it is, but you also need to be comfortable in that position as well, because at times, in the amount of games that we played, there's not always been a lot of training sessions, and we couldn't do a lot of work during the season sessions because of the games that we always needed to play. But every training session, and like you're saying, every game, even the day before we played, it was very intense because everybody was expecting the best from everybody. And even in these games, like you're saying, questions being asked, and if it was an easy question for somebody else, then of course the other group were fully against it and were very at times aggressive on everybody as well. So everybody was trying to push each other, and you need to be how do I put it in the right words. You need to be ready for that as well, because it's not easy to produce when players or when a lot of people are on top of you and put you under pressure, and it keeps you on your toes, because if they do it to me, that means I can do it to somebody else as well, and nobody wants a mistake. But you know, if you do it to somebody else as well, if you tell them and what to do, if you're not happy in what they're doing, that you can expect something is going to happen to yourself as well when you make a mistake. And then you have a lot of players in those situations, and even now, and now times are changing. Now it's not going to happen anymore. In what happened at that time when we played, it's totally different, the culture now, I think, within football. But there's been a lot of players that I've played with as well who cannot stand working in an environment like that, being pushed every day in every situation. And I liked it. It's tough, but you need to handle it. But it also brings you to a certain level in where it brought us to win these trophies.
How much pressure did Roy Keane put on you as a centre-back? Because I think it was Rio Ferdinand who came in and tells the story of arriving at Manchester United and he's passing it sideways out to the full-back, and Keane is saying, this is Manchester United. You pass that ball forward. You take that risk that at this sort of club, as a leader in the dressing room and as a demander of standards, where does Keane rank in terms of the great players you played with?
Yeah, no, he's one of the best that I've played with, and especially because of how he played. Because Roy didn't make it very difficult. He played, in general, very simple, and that's a quality, because he could do a lot more, but he knew what to do in certain moments in the game. And the thing is, Roy's putting pressure on me, on everybody, yes. And why? Because he wants the ball every time. So when you give it to somebody else, in his eyes, you need to give it to him, and then he can give it to somebody else. And that's a good way as well, because you need to be, I think, as a player, you need to be eager to wanting every ball, to be involved, to contribute to the game every second. And Roy was doing like this. And then when I had that ball and when I give it to somebody else, and that guy or the other player, for instance, let's say I gave it to Gary, and Gary was losing that ball, and Roy was having a go at me that I needed to give it to him instead of giving that ball to Gary. And that's how Roy reacted. But that's good as well. And we had, like, at times conversations, big, strong conversations during the games as well. Even when we had a throw-in and I didn't give it to him, I threw it to somebody else. And then we lost that ball, we lost possession, then he's having a go at me. And then even 10 minutes later, when they had a throw-in, we were still going at each other. And that's the thing that we that's good, and that's what he needed to do as well as a captain.
Yeah.
Is it always fair? Well, you know, and in his role, in his position, that he was able to do that, he needed to do that as well, because I think Roy was one of the big driving forces for all of us to go forward to win this trophy.
Did you ever win a row with him?
Yeah, you know, I'm a lot bigger than he is, so if it came to that, I would have won.
if it came to that. So going back to that season then, pre-Christmas, it's a good season, it's not a great season. United are ticking along nicely, results are somewhat inconsistent, but you're thereabouts in the title race. It all clicks into gear in January. Some say it was your one goal of the season against Leicester, that sixth goal that changed everything. That was the inspiration.
At the end of the day, every goal is very important.
Every goal.
For us to make that change.
Late goals were a theme of the entire season for Manchester United. And then just a few days later, Liverpool in the FA Cup, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer strikes with two very late goals. I think you set up the match winner for Solskjaer. Does that match against Liverpool, it's something that obviously stands out for Manchester United fans because of the dramatic way it was won and because it's Liverpool. But as players, when you reflect on the season, did that match feel like any sort of a turning point?
I'm not sure if it was that match, but we could feel it throughout the season. And that there's always, when you go into a season, it's better to peak towards the end or in the second part of the season, you know, because in the beginning, things need to combine, things need to mold together. You need to get a certain feeling with each other and what to do to eventually come to that success in winning games. It's very important that, of course, when you want to win the league, that you're going to be that you're participating in it, and you don't need to be like top of the league straight away, but that you're close, that you can basically feel that you can that you're up there, that you can go and maybe take these leading positions. And then, of course, after that game, which was very good, everybody was very happy, it gives you, of course, a boost. But you could feel, and for myself as an individual and as a team, we could feel that with winning these games. Winning games late as well, but keeping the pressure on the opposition. I'm hearing how other people thought about us in a positive way, and how we were as a team, and what we're trying to do, what we're trying to accomplish. That people were getting players and teams were having more and more problems against us, giving us more and more confidence, of course, as well, to eventually. Yeah, go on and keep winning these games and having results and become a very steady team within the league in every competition.
Yeah, 18 games unbeaten at the end of the Premier League season on the way to winning the title on the last day. And you end up winning the European Defender of the Year. There must be an enormous amount of satisfaction towards the back end of that season that you've taken the jump to Manchester United, all the pressure of the transfer fee, and it has come off. Like, to get to that stage, even at that level, are you constantly looking to, I presume you're constantly looking to improve, but are you looking at other defenders in the league? Are you somebody who was a player who studied the art of defending, who looked at great defenders around Europe, what they did, or were you just solely focused on your own game?
No, because I've developed basically myself as a defender. I know my ability and I knew what I could do. In terms of, you're quite tall, you're not the tallest, you're quite quick, although sometimes it doesn't look like it because you've got long legs as well. And you know, small players look a lot quicker, but they make like five steps when I do one. So it looks a little bit different.
Well, in training then, tell us about the training drills. How quick were you? Who were you beating in the training drills?
Well, I think you need to ask others, but there's not been players who've been beating me on drills or in 1v1s a lot, I can tell you that.
Right.
So I was quite happy. No, but that was one of the good things as well. And that's why they brought me in as well, you know, because when you play for a team as United, a lot of times you play on the half of the opposition. So it means that you play with a lot of space in your back. So you need to be comfortable in defending in 1v1 in big spaces and big areas. And that's what I like to do. That's what I was good at. That's why I think I was brought over to do that together with Ronnie Johnson, of course, at the back. In training sessions, you try to do that as well with the players that we had. And for us, there was not a better learning school to play against the likes of Yorkie, Coley, Giggsy, and others up top. you know, with the ability that they had to perform, to show what you can do. And that's not because of, you know, you're not, because of the other strikers within the league are not from that level. No, of course they're very good as well. Oh, but it was a good learning school for me to work or to train against these players in the training sessions. And then it's for me as a defender, when you join a club, you know, I knew my ability, what I could do. So I was very confident in what I could do. Of course, you need to show it. And that takes sometimes, it takes several weeks to do that. After that, you know, I picked it up. I showed my ability. I think everybody was quite happy in what they've seen. And towards the end of the season, I think what you're saying, you get this trophy. And that gives you as an individual, gave me a good feeling. Not to prove others wrong, not at all. But it's just something that you're looking for as a player, because you want to win trophies. You want to win trophies as a team. And that's what we did in that season. But it's also very nice that people see you and what you've been doing for this team, and they respect you. And, you know, you can win a trophy like that as well, which is very good. But it's not only me winning that trophy, because I also, of course, need the players around me to help me out to win to win that individual trophy. And that's been that's been good. That's been a thing that I think everybody's looking for.
Yeah. Watching back highlights of that run in and some of the big Champions League games around then, like the game people always bring up is the second leg against Juventus and the performance of Roy Keane. But one thing that stood out from looking at those matches was Beckham and how good Beckham was at that stage. Maybe it's the celebrity side, but I know people remember him as an outstanding talent and look what he won and did with England during his career. He was an unbelievably good footballer.
No, but Bex was a great player. And you could see that, I think, not only in that particular game, but also in the games that I played with him, of course, the season when I joined, you know, the quality that he has. He's got everybody knows his kicking, his passing, his free kicks. But he's also very clever in how to take up his positions. He's very clever in how to use the teammates around him, how he wants to provide these balls for his teammates so they can be a danger or a threat going forward or score goals. So he had a very big impact for us, of course, in everything what we in what we did. The other thing in what Bex had, of course, was his running stamina. You know, he can go up and down the pitch all day long. And that's what sometimes people are forgetting probably as well. You know, so he was a very important link within the United squad at that time as well, to create create opportunities, score goals for himself, to score goals, of course, as well. And that's a good thing, I think, if you're looking back at that team, that that people are not always picking one individual, but there's a lot of players who had a major impact in this side to eventually go to a level that we are very consistent, so we can win these trophies. Because it's going to be different if you can always, or you always need to talk about one player that does everything. You know, we had a lot of players who are very important for the team in every position. So so we can eventually, the history is there to win that treble.
Yeah, and probably helpful as well when you talk about reading the papers for the rest of the squad, that it was Beckham who generally just dominated all of that anyways.
Yeah, you know, and he liked it as well, I believe. So it was good as well. So,
you think?
So it's it's good. You know, and sometimes when it was in there as well, we joke about it as well. And that's how it goes. There was a lot of banter with us in the dressing room as well. So it was not only focusing on the work, on the job. Of course, we were doing that, but we also had a squad of players that could like give each other a little bit of stick as well in the dressing room, and you know, like I said, there was banter, there was laughter, so the atmosphere within the group was very good. And of course, by winning games, by having more and more success, that becomes easier. We also understand that, but from the start of the season, it was already the issue. So it's good, and when you have players that can. Well, that are very close. That you know, are doing things together, because at times we went out as well to have a drink somewhere or have a meal together. You know, so at the end of the day, the atmosphere was created as well, which was a very positive thing.
Yeah, you always got the sense from the outside as well with Beckham that he wasn't afraid to make fun of himself or be made fun of at times. That he sort of knew, in a way, the absurdity of everything that was happening around him.
No, but he knew, of course, in the situation where he was, you know, when he got the relationship with Victoria, of course, as well. But he was very good, you know, with that. You know, he was really a professional in how he showed himself at the club and what he needed to do. Of course, everybody knew what his private life was. He dealt with it very good, I think. The players, everybody within the club respected him as well in what he did. And you know, we kept on working and we kept on enjoying the time together in terms of being the squad and playing together and getting that success. And that's the most important thing. And you know that when you're a part of Manchester United, you know you need to show your quality. You need to work hard. People expect you to just be there and work hard and try to show your ability, but you need to do your best. You need to try to get the best out of it, and then people respect you in what you're trying to do for the club, and that's a very important one. And as long as you're doing that, people will support you and help you out in every way they can, and that's what they've done with me. That's what they've done with Bex. That's what they've done with every player, I think, within the club, with every person within the club, I think.
So how do you reflect then on those brilliant 10 days at the end of the season where United go and win it all? Because I guess it's a strange time for you. You're suffering with an injury at the time. I think it's an Achilles injury, and you don't get to play in that game against Spurs on the final day of the Premier League season. You come off the bench towards the end of the FA Cup final. Was that a period of real stress then, when there's like, this is what you worked your entire career towards, being part of moments like this, being part of a Champions League final, and there's a chance you might miss it all?
Well, we planned it like this, to be honest. I sat down before these 10 days with Sir Alex, and we spoke about the situation with my Achilles tendon. Because I played the majority of games within that season, and my tendon got worse and worse. And in the beginning, when we did the warm-up, after 10 minutes, you know, it would like ease off, and then I could play the games. Towards the end of the season, when I started to do the warm-up, it never settled down, and I went into the games with pain, basically. And then because of the adrenaline of the game, you compete, you go through it. And then during the weeks, you don't train anymore. You're in the gym or you're having treatment, and you're only playing games because of the tendon. And at a certain point, it was that bad that at the end of the day, we needed to think about what to do. You know, I was being part of, like I said, the most important games already. Then towards the end of the season, these three games are of course very important, but. And it was not an easy decision to make, but we sat down, we spoke about, okay, you know, what's the game, of course, that Sir Alex wants me and what I want to do as well. We were close and we were convinced about winning the league. Not an easy game, but we were convinced that we could do it even without me. And that's why we made the decision not to start in that game. I could start. But not to start, and also in the FA Cup final, and not to start, and then come on towards the end if the opportunity was there, and then start in the Champions League final.
Yeah, and the plan, it all worked perfectly in the end. All the trophies were won, and you got to play in that Champions League final.
Yeah,
and it could have been you. It could have been you. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer nicks your goal.
Yeah, I told him as well, leave it, and then I'll score it. So I'll. You know, I'll be there on the list. No, but I was very glad for Ollie to score it. You know, and of course, not a lot of people expected us to win it towards the end of the game. But that was also a little bit of our story that season, because we scored a lot of games towards the end of the game because we always kept on pushing. That was our mentality within the squad. Even at the last couple of minutes in league games, you're still looking at the clock, but you feel that the opposition is getting a more and more difficult time. They're dropping deeper. They're giving space away. We kept on pushing. And at the end of the day, we get that little chance. So we had these plays as well that can decide a goal or that can decide a game within one small moment. And that's what we did in the final as well. So Alex Ferguson had a great talk as well in halftime as well. know, about keep on pushing on, nothing about tactics, but keep on going. And it's maybe a one life opportunity that we're having. So we need to give everything that we have until the last second to try to get the win out of it. And I think in the team was not the easiest of games. It was a difficult game. Bayern played well. They had a couple of opportunities. We had a little bit of luck as well at times. But that's how finals are. You need to keep on pushing. As long as you're in there, you need to keep on going. You need to give it a try. And that's what we tried to do. Then they made these subs. And Sir Alex made a couple of subs, quite a couple of good ones as well. And they and Teddy and Ollie were very decisive again for us and what they needed to do. So at the end of the day, nobody looks at the result anymore. Everybody is looking at, okay, who won that big trophy? And of course, we were very happy with that. But that's the strange thing within a season like this, that you're working so hard to play these three games, that also within 10 days, if it went wrong, you would have had nothing. But for us, it would have, for us, it went well. And of course, you know, we made history, and I'm very glad to be part of that.
Do you enjoy a game like that while it's happening? Like, are you able to look around the Camp Nou, family all there, think, God, I'm playing in the Champions League final? Like, do you enjoy the game, even though you go behind early? Is there any part of you that's thinking, yes, I belong here? Or is it totally impossible to even remember, because in hindsight, because you won, obviously you enjoy it?
No, afterwards you enjoy it. Before, when we were in the hotel, you're always waiting for the moment to go to the stadium. When you're out there in Barcelona, you come out in the stadium, you have a look at the pitch and at the crowd, the stands before you get changed. It gives you a great feeling that you're proud, of course, to be there. But as a sportsman, you also know that you need to win that game to make a difference in what you want to do. During the game, when you're out there, you're only thinking about when we concede it, about going and getting back into the game and not conceding anymore, but trying to get that equalizer. And then, you know, it didn't happen. We didn't go forward at times enough. We couldn't create that many opportunities. You're looking at the clock at that time as well, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, extra time. But we needed to keep on pushing. And then, of course, you know, when you score these goals and the last seconds you score the winning, then you get goosebumps. It gives you a great feeling to be part of it. And then, of course, you're very happy. And then, of course, we knew it in the season that we had, that we belonged there in that final as well. But still, the final is the crucial moment to do it, to still deliver. Even when Scholesi and Keeney were not there, the others needed to step up. They needed to show themselves. And that gives you, as a team, a very good feeling that we realized the dreams that everybody had, and that's a very proud moment at that time.
Where are the three medals?
They're at my house. They're in Holland. They're safely tucked away. So we're very proud of that. You know, it's a thing that I look at times, you know, from the season and the seasons after, you still have quite a few trophies. I'm not putting them on display for everybody to show, or for myself to show. You know, in my mind, I know what we've done. It's not that I need to look at it every time. You know, people remind you of it anyway, that you were there in what you've done. But it's good to have them. It's good. It's been good for the kids as well to, you know, to look at them at times as well. You know, they're now grown up. You know, when I stopped playing football, the kids were still little. So it's a shame that they couldn't see it in live when we were there.
It's all up on YouTube, though.
Sorry?
It's all up on YouTube, so I'm sure they'll be able to watch it in that.
It's all on there, and they've all. They've been watching it as well, so and sometimes they're quite shocked by the things they see as well.
Yeah,
but it's good, you know. And there's a lot of memories over there, and these are things. That's why you go. I think that's why you go to big clubs like United as a player, and that's why I wanted to go abroad to go to United as well. You want to go there for myself. You know, in the beginning we spoke about what you want to achieve for yourself as an individual and making the steps. No, I think as a player, you want to go there to win trophies. And that's why you go to a big club, to be part of something, to win trophies with the club, to make history. But also you can say as a player, yeah, you know, I've played at the highest level in football. And that's what's the most important thing was for me.
The celebrations afterwards were pretty wild. The open top bus tour through Manchester, the hundreds of thousands of people who came out to celebrate the treble. Often, though, when you talk to sports people, the bit they remember the most and maybe cherish the most is the dressing room afterwards, and when the door is shut in the dressing room and this sense that this is probably maybe the last time us as a group are ever all going to be in the same place at the same time. And I'm sure that was the case because, you know, for certain players, Peter Schmeichel, it was his last ever game for Manchester United. Was that the case for you, and do you have memories, and did that happen where the door was shut and actually you had 20 minutes, half an hour, where it's just the players, the management, the people who made all this happen?
Well, the funny thing is that, of course, you're celebrating after. You're celebrating on the pitch a lot as well with the fans as well. I think the fans were like spectacular at the Camp Nou in the evening as well, you know, and that was for me one of the best things, to see all the fans there to join us, to be there, to be part of it, singing, people being, even ourselves and family, fans being very emotional in what we've done, to be, you know, to the fans have been following us everywhere, you know, in Europe where we went to get this achievement done. And that's for me has been a great feeling and an honor to be part of it as well at the time. Afterwards, when you go into the dressing room, it's not like, yeah, you celebrate, we have a glass of champagne, we sit together in the whirlpool, in a positive way, I mean, but also the thing, what you're doing then is talking about the season, because the season has ended at the time. You've been winning these trophies, you're talking about what a season it was from the start up till then. You know, I remember sitting there with Ollie and with Steve as well, Steve McLaren as well, talking about, you know, in what we've been done, what we've done that season, how we realized it, how we achieved it, that we played this amount of games with all the traveling there as well, even international games with your country playing these games. And then still coming back and still needing to produce. So it's been a very tough and a long ride, but because of having that success, getting these results, things become a little bit more easier to do as well, to handle. And sometimes maybe it looks strange. I don't think it's strange. You know, it's not like everybody's of course being very happy, but talking about, at the end of the day, what everybody has done to achieve this these results, to win these cups.
Was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer your best mate in the United squad?
Yeah, we had a lot of contact. Because he was living near me, where I lived in Bremel. Jordi Cruyff was there as well. Jordi, of course, was there, and in the beginning, he helped me out and like, you know, looking around, getting to be familiar with the area and everything. And Ollie was over there as well. So at the end of the day, we spend a lot of time outside of football as well, with the families and the wives, and, you know, and having something to eat together and doing things together as well, which was very good. And then, yeah, that relationship has been built throughout the season with Ollie as well.
Yeah. So do you give him, is it weekly feedback or daily feedback on the job he's doing at United?
No. Occasionally I text him. You know, sometimes I'm asking if he's got like a couple of plays for me as well, because he's got enough. But Ollie is sometimes we're in contact. You know, I text him and I think Ollie is doing a great job already last season. And everybody knows that it's not easy to step in there and then immediately perform. You know, the club came from a certain position. They're trying to build it up, they're trying to make steps, and I think Ollie has contributed very well in doing this.
One thing that there's no question Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I think, has done at Manchester United is brought a real sense of calmness to the club. He doesn't seem phased at all. He always seems on a level, and obviously he's the Manchester United manager, he's a very serious man. But we had Albert Morgan on the show a little bit earlier on, the former Manchester United kit man when yourself and Ole were roommates, I understand, during that season. And he was telling us a story about him going to pick up your dirty training gear. You hadn't left it outside either of you. Knocks on the door, goes in, pitch black, and suddenly finds himself inside a duvet. Here is a laughing and sniggering Stam and Solskjaer, and ends up thrown in some sort of a cupboard for an hour.
Yeah, I think it was before lunch or something like that. I'm not sure it was, but like I said, you know, that was how Ollie, and not Ollie and myself, but also everybody was within the team, within the squad. So sometimes there was a bit of banter, and we were like in the hotel, and then LB was like knocking on the door because we knew he was coming to collect the kid. So we told Ollie, and I said, well, let's wait. When he comes in, we put him in this closet, and we leave, and we go downstairs. So when he joined, and we said to him, come in, and it's over here. So he came in, and then Ollie shut the door. I grabbed him, and we shoved him into this cupboard, and we closed, we locked the doors, and we left him in there for a while. So at the end of the day, he got out. But it's a little bit the things that we did. It's building up. But there's also been things that Albert, you know, he's been doing things to us as well, and that's how it needed to be. You know, so it was all good humor.
I can't imagine he was lifting you somehow and putting you inside a duvet.
No, that's not. But he always tried to do something else then.
He did say that when eventually he was being let out of the cupboard, he heard you say, "I think he's dead."
Well, you know, the thing is with him as well, you know, he couldn't go anywhere, so he needed to just wait for us, and that we came back and we let him out.
I was thinking of that terrible moment where you return, you're gone, uh-oh, maybe we've gone too far this time.
At the end of the day, you feel a little bit guilty, and Ollie said as well, oh, we needed to come on, we need to go back, we need to get him out. So we did. But yeah, you need to get things going, and you need to sometimes have a little bit of trickery amongst ourselves as well.
Yeah, you certainly had a bit of that. Yap, it's been a real privilege to talk to you and reflect on that treble-winning season for Manchester United. You played such a big part in it, as I say, over 50 appearances, a key role in that Champions League final. Thanks for joining us on OTB Sports.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Yap has been with us in association with Cadbury FC, global partner of Manchester United. Check out cadburyfc.com for updates on promotions and giveaways. And all our interviews throughout these series are available on the OTB Sports app, and get onto all our social channels.